Welcome to The Credit Connection with High Tech Lending's David Brown, helping you get your finances in order and get you the credit you deserve. The Credit Connection, here on KSMA, 1240 AM, 99.5 FM, and 1240KSMA.com. Now, from High Tech Lending, David Brown.
Hey, welcome to our show, The Credit Connection. I'm your host, David Brown, with High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. At The Credit Connection, we want to connect you to the credit you want and deserve for your home, business, and personal use. Here we discuss all things creditworthy, such as lenders, FICO scores, interest rates, credit cards, mortgages, you name it. If it has to do with credit or money, we discuss all aspects. Think of our show as financial literacy class on steroids with different topics each week. We really enjoy your feedback and questions that relate to credit. I encourage you to ask your questions through our website, reloans.com. Hit the Contact Us tab and leave us your question or comment. You can also call us at 805-686-2321. In today's program, we're going to share some actual lending and credit scenarios and pull back the curtain regarding trust and estate planning with attorney Lana Clark. Just want to touch base and let you know a couple of things going on. Be careful with appraisals. I'm finding that they're becoming much more, if you will, pertinent to the lending and underwriting. I've got a scenario today where the property has the ability to be under subdivided. It's a 5-acre parcel, and they could subdivide it into 1-acre parcels. Well, my lender is telling me that for FHA guidelines, they won't give any value to the surplus land. So they're going to appraise it as if it were only 1 acre with a house on it. So be careful that you don't get into some of these traps before you commit to a particular lender and try other programs that may not be FHA or look outside that box. So anyway, those are some of the things I encourage you to check in on and things that are real time that are coming up as we speak. Today's show, Show Me the Money, or as the case goes, Show Me the Credit. Let's get to the heart of our program today and pull back the curtain on estate planning and trust planning with attorney Lana Clark. Lana has passed the California bar, and she is on the board of attorneys. Santa Barbara County has designated trust and estate specialist, and she is one of only 16 in the county of Santa Barbara and the only one in the North County. And with that, let's welcome Lana. Thank you, Lana, for being with us today.
You're welcome. It's nice to be here.
Tell me, how is it that you got into this legal niche and specialty?
Well, for about 20 years prior to doing estate planning, I was a litigation paralegal and then a litigation attorney, and I just decided that the stress level and the time commitment for doing litigation was more than I wanted to continue pursuing. So I decided to do something that involved helping people, and I took a position with an estate planning firm in 1995, and I've never looked back, and I've been doing estate planning, probates, trust administration, and conservatorships ever since, and I really enjoy helping people to get things set up.
Well, do you feel that the seniors are underserved in the most part?
Well, you know, unfortunately, there's so many people that don't have a lot of assets, and so they really don't do anything, and that can be really disastrous when they pass away. And it leaves their family in a period of chaos because there's nothing set up, and they don't know if they had assets, if they had a will, if they had a trust, if they own real estate. You know, they'll know that maybe they had a house, but depending on the way the title is held in the house, it may require a probate. It may be able to be passed to a joint owner. So it all depends on how much planning you do that will take away the problems that can happen if you're incapacitated or after you pass away.
That's good to know, because I can't tell you how many people I've assisted that, you know, they want to refinance a particular home that they've inherited, but then it's inherited with 5 other kids or whatever the case may be, and so title's not perfected. There's so many roadblocks and or red flags along the way that you have to deal with just to get to your objective. So I can say, by being on the other side of it, trying to help people that have not had these things put in place, don't make somebody else go through it when you pass. So be thinking of your kids when you think of your estate plan and putting something together. So I know that firsthand too. And to be candid with our audience too, I want them to know that I've referred Lana on more than one occasion. I've recognized her expertise and her capacity and sincerity in helping her clients. So I do appreciate that. And I've never had a client that was referred to her ever come back with anything but great praises. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. That's nice to hear.
Why should we have an estate plan?
Well, the reality is, in California, if you have assets, it's in your individual name, that exceed $150,000. And at the time of your death, it has to go through probate to figure out who is going to get those assets. If you have property that's jointly titled with a spouse or a brother or someone else, then typically that asset, whether it's real estate or a checking account or an investment account, can go to that other person that's jointly titled. But if you own it all by yourself, it's going through probate. And probate takes generally a year, and it's very expensive with all the probate fees. Generally, a probate that's about $1 million with the property is going to cost about $45,000 in probate fees before it's over. And those fees are fees that instead could pass to your heirs instead of going for probate expenses.
Well, tell us, what is probate then?
Probate is a systematic overview by the courts to make sure that a person's asset passes either to the person they've designated in a will, or if they have no will, it's going to pass to the people that the probate code says are the likely recipients of their property, which typically, if you're married, it goes to a spouse and children. And if you have no spouse and children, then it will pass to parents. It'll pass to siblings, grandparents, aunts and uncles and cousins. So if you want to designate where your assets go instead of letting the courts decide where it goes, you need to have a plan in place. At the very minimum, a will, which will still get you in probate, but at least it goes to the people you designate. So if you want to avoid probate, avoid the time period and the cost, you need to have a living trust that avoids probate.
Well, the other problem with probate, if I understand it correctly, it's also all public. Everything's mm-hmm. out in the open, so whatever assets you have, whatever heirs that you have, that you want to give this to, it's all public knowledge by virtue of being done through the court system.
That's correct. Anyone can go to the court and look at a probate file and see how much you had in debts when you passed away, who your heirs were, who gets the property, the value of your assets. And that's kind of confidential information that most people don't want to be out available to anyone who is nosy enough to go snooping around your finances.
Right. Like a housekeeper or somebody else, maybe.
Anyone, sure.
Yeah.
And if you have a trust, it's all private. The only person that finds out what's in your trust and who your beneficiaries are is the person you name to handle your estate after you pass away. With a trust, it's called a successor trustee. And then the beneficiaries find out, but no one else finds out.
So what are the benefits of having a trust? And is it a family trust? It is a revocable trust? Can you explain the differences to us?
Yes. Anyone, whether you're an individual or a married couple, can set up a trust. Unless you designate that a trust is irrevocable, where it can't be changed, then all trusts in California are revocable, and they can be changed at any time, so long as you have mental capacity. So up until the time where you can't understand what you're doing, you can change a trust. That right to make changes would end if you are incapacitated with dementia or Alzheimer's or something else that affects your mental ability. You can have all kinds of physical ailments, be in a wheelchair, be a paraplegic, but as long as you can communicate your desires, you can change a trust. So okay. You have to be mentally competent to change a trust and create one.
Well, what are the other benefits of having a trust versus probate?
You avoid probate. It is private, and you can do some creative things with trusts if you want to allow beneficiaries to receive their inheritance at certain stated periods, or give it to them gradually, because if someone is over age 18 in a probate, they will get all of their inheritance. And so if someone has a $1 million estate and they have a child who's 18, that child will get that inheritance. And we all know that it would not be wise to leave a large inheritance to an 18-year-old because they don't have enough life experience and wisdom to do something wise with that inheritance. So with a trust, you can have it held off until that beneficiary is older, maybe age 25 mm-hmm. or 30, or you can give it to them gradually in increments, give them a monthly allowance, pay for college, marriage, down payments on houses, investment in a business. So mm-hmm. you can be very specific as to when they get the money and how much, and the trustee is the one that controls that until they reach the designated milestones.
Okay. Well, let's back up just a second then. Who are the different parties in a trust? If they pass, who is it that's handling it to make those installments to a minor or set up an educational account or whatever?
Okay. Who
are those parties?
There are generally three parties to create a trust. The individual or the couple that creates a trust is called the settlors, and the person who administers the trust, manages the money, is the trustees. And then there's a beneficiary, the person or persons who get the benefit of whatever assets are transferred into the trust. So initially, when an individual or a couple create a trust, they're the settlors because they created it. They act as the trustee to control their assets, and they're also the beneficiary. You know, as time goes on, when that person passes away, then they name a successor trustee to manage the assets for them after they've passed. And with married couples, it's usually the spouse first. But when both parties of the couple have passed on, they have to name someone else to step in and take over. Frequently, that's a child. It can be a friend, someone that you trust that will manage the money prudently. It can be a CPA or financial advisor, so long as they're not a FINRA-licensed stockbroker. Or it can be an attorney, or it can be just about anyone. The big key is, who do you trust to manage your money, and will they follow the instructions you put in your trust? Because frequently family members just disregard the instructions and do what they want, and then it creates big family problems. So those are the parties involved in the trustee.
Okay.
And then when you pass away, there's alternate beneficiaries. So, and the key is, once you create a trust, you transfer your assets into the trust, you no longer own anything in your individual name, and so that means there's no reason for probate, because when you die, you don't own anything. It's all owned by the trust and controlled by the trustee.
By having a trust, am I protecting myself from other legal issues, judgments, and things of that nature?
And unfortunately, the answer is no. Your creditors can still come and attach your trust if it's a revocable trust. Now, if it's an irrevocable trust, that provides some measure of protection from creditors, but it has to be set up properly, and it's a little bit more complicated to go into right now, but generally, a regular trust offers no protection from creditors and judgments. You
okay.
still have to pay it.
Well, if my kid were to hit somebody and I have a judgment or something beyond what the insurance paid, a claim or something like that by the injured party, would they be able to access the trust?
Not your children.
If it was a minor child of mine and I was responsible for that.
Well, if you have a minor child that's caused an injury, they will look to you, but there are some limitations, and hopefully you have enough insurance that would cover that kind of thing.
Right,
but
right.
Generally, your beneficiaries, if you have a beneficiary that's in an accident, gets a judgment, the creditor of your child or your beneficiary doesn't get to come after your trust. It's only your own creditors. So there's
okay.
a little bit of protection so that your beneficiaries can't break into the trust and have their creditors get to your assets.
Okay. Good. And what is a medical directive? And is that part of a trust establishment or something that you would do?
Generally, when you do an estate plan, there are documents you do to cover a time when you become incapacitated. And so in a typical estate plan, you need to have a power of attorney and a medical directive. And the medical directive names someone to make medical decisions for you if you can't do that for yourself.
Okay.
So if you're in a coma or you've had a stroke, you can't communicate your desires to the doctor, you name someone as an agent to make medical decisions for you. And generally, it's a spouse or children or someone else you feel
close. And it's not, it doesn't have to be the same person as my, you know, successor trustee or anybody like that.
It can be someone different. And it would include the power to terminate life support if you're in a vegetative state, in a coma, not expected to live, and you don't want to keep someone alive by all kinds of machines, so you give them the power to terminate life support.
Well, thank you. This is great information. That's a good spot to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Lana Clark regarding estate planning and trust.
Mom, are you okay?
Honey, I'm fine. Just a broken glass.
Really? Are you okay?
I haven't been sleeping well since Dad, you know. I wake up at night worried if I can make ends meet.
Mom, why don't we look into a reverse mortgage? Then you won't have to make any more house payments and you can live comfortably.
Should I just call the guys on TV?
No, who knows where they're from? My neighbor recommended David Brown of American Senior. He'll come to the house and answer all our questions. Mom, call David at American Senior, okay? Here, I Googled the number, 686-2321.
686-2321.
All homeowners over 62, don't worry about your finances. Call 686-2321. 686-2321. Get a reverse mortgage with David Brown of American Senior. David Brown of American Senior, a division of High Tech Lending, licensed by the Department of Oversight under California Law Mortgage and Lending Act, NMLS 7147, CA3413-0937.
Welcome back to the second part of our show, The Credit Connection. If you're just now joining us, we're discussing estate planning and trust with attorney Lana Clark. Lana, where we finished off, I was just going to ask you, if there is no will or trust, can I still have my estate just divided by family or give them something in that regard?
Certainly. There are different ways you can do that. If you know you're about to pass away, one thing you can do is get out your checkbook and start writing checks for what gifts you want to make. That's certainly one way you can do it. But a lot of people don't know exactly when the end is coming, so they can't plan that way. But you can go to the bank and create what's called a POD account on your checking or savings or a CD. And that the POD stands for a pay on death. You go to the bank and you say, I want to designate a beneficiary for my checking account. And you give them the name. And then after your death, that person goes to the bank with a death certificate and the bank will turn the money over to them.
The other thing is that what is a power of attorney and when do I need one?
Well, a power of attorney is kind of like the healthcare directive we talked about before the break, but a power of attorney designates someone to act as your agent if you're incapacitated, but they control, instead of your medical decisions, they control your finances. So if you've been in a car accident or you have a stroke and you can't manage your own finances, the person you designate can take that power of attorney with a doctor certification to the bank, be added to your checking account so they can start writing checks for you, and then they can pay your medical bills and maintain your finances for you while you're getting well. Okay. So it's very important to have a power of attorney. And a lot of people have them, but the big problem is that if you have a trust, frequently a power of attorney only applies to name someone to act for you individually. And if your assets have been transferred into a trust, then your agent cannot get to a checking account that's titled in the trust. So it's important to have a power of attorney that names the agent to have the right to act for you not only individually, but on behalf of your trust. And so, almost every power of attorney I see for people coming to me only is an individual power of attorney, doesn't name the trust as a potential.
And so that's a big hiccup.
Can create problems.
Okay, make sure that when you have a power of attorney and if you have a trust, include the trust or your capacity as a trustee, you're transferring that to the power of attorney as well.
Exactly. That's real important. Okay. And a power of attorney only lasts so long as you're living. At the time you die, that power of attorney stops, and then the person named as the executor of your will or the trustee of your trust steps in and takes care of things after you've passed away.
That's when the successor trustee would take control.
That's right.
How much does it cost to set up an estate plan and or a trust?
Well, of course, the cost depends on the complexity of what your estate and your asset holdings are. If you're only creating a will just to designate the person to receive your property, that's much less than creating a trust. And it depends on the attorney that you seek, their expertise and their experience as to what they charge, because each attorney sets the rate. In Santa Barbara County, I've seen rates as low as $1,000 on up to $5,000. I set a rate for a typical average trust package for a married couple at $2,500.
Okay.
And it can be less than that. There are minimal assets, and it could be more if things are more complex.
And how much time does it take to establish that and get it put into place?
Well, I have done trusts in as little as 24 hours when Wow. someone is going in the hospital for some major surgery or life-threatening medical procedure that they're concerned about surviving. But typically, when there's no medical urgency, it takes a couple weeks, and we talk about options. We meet. I have a questionnaire for people to fill in who's going to be the agents for power of attorney healthcare directives and who's going to be the beneficiary, successor, trustees. And it kind of depends on how long until they complete that. It is a couple of weeks, generally.
Are there things to record or put in front of the courts or anything like that?
Nothing goes to the court. This is all private. But there are deeds to be recorded if you have a house or a condo and you're transferring title of that real estate into the trust. So deed recording fees in Santa Barbara run between $30 and $35. So that's a minimal cost. And then you go to the bank, change the title on your checking, savings, investment account, CDs, and your house, and then everything goes in. If you have other assets, such as business entities, corporations, you may have to transfer stock or limited liability company membership interest in. But those are all other things that are handled very easily.
As far as getting a new mortgage, you don't always have to take it out of the trust if it's already established in a trust. Many lenders will accept the trust. They're just going to make sure it's a revocable trust, number one, and that the parties are who they're supposed to be.
That's true.
You know,
and when you sign that for a mortgage and you create a trust later, you're still individually liable to pay the mortgage.
Correct. Yep.
And of course, the house is the security. So
yes,
lenders are well aware of trusts and very cooperative.
Yeah. Lana, share with us a story of that sticks in your mind that it might be a lesson for others, whether it be tragic or humorous, either way.
I've seen many, many stories in the 25 years that I've been doing estate planning, but the most tragic stories usually involve small children. When there is a couple that has minor children, and the couple, they're both killed simultaneously in a car accident, it really leaves a very tragic period of chaos for the rest of the family to deal with, because these children need a guardian. Without a will or a trust that names someone to act as the guardian, you've got a family that says, who's going to finish raising these kids? Frequently, kids end up going and living with a relative that would not be the choice that the parents would want to raise their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many tragic stories, the whole upheaval. And certainly if you have four or five kids, it's going to disrupt somebody's life to take on four or five kids that belong to your brother or sister or parents may need to take on raising kids, but they may not have the health or the ability to raise them. And then what happens to the money? How is that going to be set up to provide for the children? You need a plan to avoid the period of chaos.
Yeah. One thing I thought that was kind of humorous, I guess, I found it humorous anyway, when I looked at your bio, you said that you actually set up a trust for pets. I thought that was interesting. I thought, okay, well, pets are on their own, but you're saying people want to protect their pets in the afterlife.
Absolutely. They want to name who's going to be the caregiver of their pets. Pets, for many people, are a part of the family, whether it's a dog or a cat, or maybe it's a very valuable thoroughbred horse. And you can create a pet trust and designate a percentage of your estate or a dollar amount to go into a trust to provide for the veterinary care and the housing and the food.
Yeah.
And it works really well so that you know there's someone who's going to take care of those pets.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't realize you'd slice it that thin, but that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And there's other methods within a trust that you can carve out for disabled children in a special needs trust.
Right.
So that if you have a child or a relative you want to provide for in your trust, but you don't want to give them the money outright because they might be disqualified from receiving Medi-Cal, if they receive an inheritance. So you set up a special needs trust with someone that can augment and buy the things that they need without them being disqualified from getting government benefits.
Yeah. You often have workshops. When's your next workshop?
I generally do an estate planning seminar, generally every couple months. I don't have a date for the next one, but generally at my website, I post the date of the next one. And generally, it's where I meet with as little as half a dozen people in my conference room. And I have a PowerPoint presentation that shows pictures and slides that explains estate planning and looks at some of the tax issues that people have to face. And so I explain that and it gives information, and they're all complimentary, and people can then make decisions based on getting more knowledge.
Lana, how can our listeners contact you? Your website, your phone?
Yes. Well, I have an office in Solvang and also in Santa Barbara. And the phone number to contact me is 805-688-3939. Or you can go to my website, which is lanaclarklaw.com. And there are lots of other written articles about different topics, estate planning and things that we've talked about today. And it has a lot of contact information, email contacts, and you get a lot of information there just by looking at my website.
Good. Well, I appreciate it. We appreciate you having you here on the show today. Once again, we're out of time. We hope you found today's presentation informational and valuable. If so, please share with other family and friends. If not, don't tell anybody. For questions or comments, go to our website, reloans.com, and click Contact Us. Or call us at 805-686-2321. Leave your comments and questions, and we'll get back to them on next week's show. I'm your host, David Brown, from High Tech Lending and American Senior Reverse Mortgage. Thank you for tuning in to The Credit Connection, where we do the work and you get the credit. This is David Brown wishing you profit and credit worthiness. See you next week on another interesting Credit Connection topic.
You've been listening to The Credit Connection with David Brown from High Tech Lending. For more information, contact David Brown directly at 805-686-2321. That's 805-686-2321. Or by email at dbrown@hightechlending.com. dbrown@hightechlending.com. And visit David online at reloans.com. That's reloans.com. And tune in next time for High Tech Lending's David Brown and The Credit Connection here on KSMA.